Well, this weekend, we are launching a new sermon series. It's called Free. And if you weren't here for Easter, you might be wondering, why is there a big old cage on the platform? And I was talking to a five-year-old yesterday at our Saturday service, and he was asking me about the cage. And I said, well, see, last week, there was a lion in the cage, and the lion represented Jesus, and the cage represented the tomb. And I said, at some point, the lion broke out of the cage. And he's looking at me with these big wide eyes like, where did the lion go? And I'm like, well, it was dark and the lights were flashing. And I didn't want to scare him and have him think the lion might still be lurking in the building. I'm like, but the lion was Jesus. So Jesus, you know, the lion is with God now. And we were celebrating that the tomb couldn't hold Jesus. It was a powerful celebration last weekend. People walked through the cage to symbolize finding freedom in Christ. In fact, the candle is lit this weekend because there were a number of people that walked through the cage last weekend to say that they gave their lives to Christ. So we light this candle anytime we know over the last 7 days someone has surrendered their life to Jesus, and we are celebrating those that took that step of faith at Easter. So here we are starting this new series now. We call it Free. And I'm mindful of something as I begin this series, that there are different camps of people that walk through these doors each weekend. You know, there's some folks that have come in this weekend, and this is what life is like for them. They're trapped in a cage, and they know it. And they haven't realized yet or figured out the way to freedom. There are other folks that walk through these doors that are trapped in a cage, and they don't realize it. Because the cage is pretty big. They got a lot of room to walk around, and they feel like they're free, but they don't realize that they're trapped, and they're enslaved and in captivity to something. And they haven't found their way to freedom. And then there are other folks that have walked out of whatever cage they were in. They have tasted the freedom that comes from Jesus. But for whatever reason, when life gets challenging, they kind of go back as if they still live in the cage. And what I want to say to that crowd during this series is like, if you've been made free, why would you ever go back to that life? And so we're going to be trying to speak to all those different crowds during this series, that there are people who know that they're free, but they don't always act like it. There are people who are in captivity and don't realize it. There are people who are in captivity and they know it. And there's a way to freedom that we want to proclaim. Obviously, there are other people that would walk through these doors each weekend and say, I am loving the freedom that Christ has given me. And we just say, praise God for that. But if that's you, I hope that along the way, you can help some others experience the freedom that you have found. So with all of those different audiences in mind, I'd like to pray before I dive into the word today. I'm going to be in John chapter 8, if you want to begin to turn there in your Bibles. And I've called this message Free the Foundation. And so I'm going to pray and then dive into the message. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the freedom that's found in you. And Lord, you know my prayer has been that during this series, people would find new levels of freedom. I pray, Lord, that you would set the captives free today. And Lord, I pray that all of us would be able to humble ourselves and just listen for the voice of your Spirit. Lord, I pray from the youngest person to the oldest person in the room, Lord, that you would speak a fresh insight from your word today by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to receive what it is that you want to say in the moments ahead. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. So I've called this Free the Foundation. And if you've ever built a house or you've seen a house being built, then you know what this image represents. This represents the foundation of a house. You see it behind me there. And the foundation of a house, anytime you go to build, you dig a big hole and then you pour the foundation. And the reason you pour a foundation is because the house has to sit on the foundation. It supports the weight of the house. Without a good foundation, it'll start to sink into the ground over time and eventually crumble. And so I feel like I'm laying the groundwork for where we're going to be over the next several weeks as we talk about being free. We're going to spend the first few weeks talking about what we're free from, and then the last few weeks after Mother's Day talking about what we're free to do. And so as we talk about this foundational stuff, I've chosen John 8 to be in. And just to give you some background on John 8, John, some scholars have said, reads like an ongoing court case. I've told you before that one of my favorite TV shows is Law & Order, SVU. I don't know if there's any SVU fans in the house. Any SVU fans, raise your hand. A few, yeah. It's one of like two shows that I watch, SVU, and a difficult subject matter, but I love the courtroom drama. And on those courtroom cases, you know how there's testimony that's given. They call witnesses. And if you read the book of John closely, it plays out almost like a courtroom drama. Jesus is his own judge, I mean, his own attorney, his own representative. He's the one that's giving testimony about himself over and over again. And all of these other witnesses, so to speak, the Jewish leaders, the skeptics, they stand up and they give opposing testimony. They don't like what Jesus is saying. And so if you start off John 8, you'll see that Jesus is saying some things about his relationship with the Father and the authority that he's been given and why he does what he does. And the crowd doesn't agree with him. They don't like what he's saying. In fact, they question him. And so when we get to verse 27 of John chapter 8, we find these words. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. And so Jesus said, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And even as he spoke, many believed in him. So Jesus makes some things clear in these verses. He's saying, look, I know whose authority I'm under. Oh, man, what would the world be like if more Christians were confident in that? I know whose authority I'm under. And he's saying, look, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I don't do anything on my own. I only do what is pleasing to the Father. And oh, by the way, he's saying, I know that you're plotting to kill me. How does he know that? Because he says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, when you lift me up on the cross, then you will see that I am who I claim to be. You'll see that my authority was really from the Father. When you lift me up, then you'll know. And so then we get to verse 31. And look at what the text says. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Man, that passage of scripture has been quoted inside the church and outside the church in multiple ways through the centuries. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's true in relationships, like when you know the truth about a situation, there's great freedom that comes from knowing the truth. When it comes to interpersonal relationships, if you are a liar, it's hard to have any kind of freedom. But if you begin to trust people and open up to them and share what's really going on, and you can have that kind of dialogue with people, truthful relationships provide great freedom to go deeper with people. But here specifically, Jesus is laying out just some foundational truth. He's saying, if you want to experience freedom, then you've got to follow me. He says, if you want to be set free, you have to know the truth. If you want to know the truth, then you need to be a disciple or a follower. If you want to be a follower, then what do you have to do? You've got to do what Jesus said to do. And guess what? If we fast forward to our time, I know this is like really profound, but how do you know what Jesus said to do? Well, you actually got to read the Bible. And you might say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I don't like the Bible. It's difficult to comprehend. Well, then that's where trust comes in. Because notice he's speaking to believers, folks that were starting to put their trust in him. You got to trust that God can actually make it clear for you what Scripture is saying so that you can do what Jesus said to do so that you can actually experience the freedom that comes from following Jesus. He's making it plain. Follow me. Trust in me. Walk in obedience to me, and you can experience freedom. In other words, the point that Jesus is making is that freedom and discipleship are closely connected. There are many people that want to be free. They want to experience freedom. They would say, I want to be free. And the only way to experience freedom, according to what Jesus is saying, is to follow after Jesus closely, discipleship. In other words, if you've ever found yourself in captivity to anything, the way out, the recipe for true freedom is found in the formula. Trust Jesus, do what Jesus said, walk in obedience to Jesus, and you will experience freedom. So I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but I don't think Jesus made it all that complicated. And yet there are people that don't want to embrace it. In fact, Jesus takes it to another level later on in the book of John. In John 14, 6 and 7, he was asked a question. He told his followers, he said, I'm going to a place, and you know the place where I'm going, and one day you'll see me there. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And the disciples said, how can we know how to get there if we don't know the way? And Jesus answered them in John 14, 6 to 7, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So what Jesus is saying is that I am the truth. He said earlier, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And now what he's saying is, I am truth. I am truth in the flesh. I am truth personified. If you want true freedom, then you've got to hang out with me. Jesus is the only one in human history that had the authority to say such words. I mean, imagine it. Imagine if I stood up here and I said one weekend, the way to true freedom is to get to know me. If you want to get set free, then you got to get to know me, K-Y-L-E. No, I'm kidding. I was about to rap for a minute. What if I said that? You'd say, Kyle, I know that you're flawed. I know that you have shortcomings. I know that you're not perfect. And you're saying that the way to true freedom is found in relationship with you. Jesus was the only one that had the authority from God the Father to declare that if you know him, you can be free. You want to get set free, you've got to get to know Jesus. Now, if you're a person that's sitting under this teaching and you're thinking, I'm not in captivity, I'm not in bondage, I'm free, you might respond the same way that the crowd responded to Jesus. In fact, look at what they said in verse 33. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Do you notice there how they're offended? They're like, don't you understand who our great, 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 keep going, great, great, keep on going, great, 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 great grandfather was? And for some people, they say, don't you understand? My grandfather was a pastor. My grandmother was a praying woman. Like, my grandparents went to church. My parents always went to church. You might even say, my dad was a pastor. I'm the child of a pastor. Don't you know I'm not in slavery to anything? That's how they responded. But here's the truth that I know. To be enslaved and not realize it is tragic. There's some people, I hope my mama never looks at this sermon video because she might just have a heart attack seeing her baby in a cage. By the way, my mama is the only one that can call me her baby. That's just another word for her favorite. I mean, my two sisters know that. I'm just saying. But some people, this is how they live. But they don't realize that the bars are here. They don't realize they're caged, that they're enslaved. But to be enslaved and not know it is a tragedy. Do you know that there are people in our community, I've seen it, I've heard it before, people that life is so difficult for them. Like, it's so difficult finding a job, it's so difficult getting finances, it's so difficult building relationships, that they've convinced themselves that they would be better off in a prison cell, like a real prison cell, because there's consistent meals and a bed to sleep in, and there's some consistency in life. And they really believe I'd be better on the inside than I am on the outside. I'd be better living life in a cage than I would living a life of freedom. In the case of this crowd that responds to Jesus, they say, look, we're not slaves. We're not in a cage. We don't see any bars around here. We're Abraham's descendants. And yet, Jesus is going to call them out. See, so far, he hasn't talked about what you can be free from. He's just saying that if you know the truth will set you free. And I just want you to pause and consider for a moment if there's any part of you in their response. Because I believe that there's some folks that are in slavery in this room. There's some of you all that are in slavery to debt. Some of you are in slavery to some addiction. You're in slavery to pornography. You're in slavery to some drug. You're in slavery to alcohol. Some of you are in slavery to Netflix. Some of you are in slavery to approval and acceptance. Some of you are in slavery to a lot of different things. Some of you are in slavery to sin. You might say, man, how dare you call me a slave? I didn't come to church to be insulted. And I say, well, you can relate to the Jews. You say, how dare you call us slaves? We're Abraham's descendants. Don't you know who we are? To be in slavery and not know it is tragic. I just want to open your eyes. Maybe this can be an eye-opening sermon for some of us in the room. But guess what? There's good news, right? It's a tragedy to be in slavery and not know it. But there's good news in the text. It's coming. Jesus clarifies it in the next few verses, verses 34 to 38. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That's not the good news. I mean, that's the reality. It's like we're born into it. We're born into the slavery to sin. But here's the good news. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will be what? Free indeed. You will be what? Free indeed is what he says. I know that you're Abraham's descendants. He's saying, I know who your mama was and your grandfather was and your great, 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 great. Yet you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Hold up now. He's saying, look, I'm examining your attitude. You're trying to kill me as I'm trying to speak the truth to you. Maybe you've been in a situation before where you went to deliver a word of truth to someone and they wanted to shoot the messenger. Or maybe you've been on the receiving end of truth and you wanted to shoot the messenger. Jesus is saying, I'm bringing you truth. I'm telling you truth, but you want to kill me because you don't have any room in your heart or your mind to understand this truth, because you're in slavery. And he's saying you're in slavery to sin. And I'm here to tell you today that there's freedom from slavery to sin, and it's found in Jesus. He says, when the Son sets you free, Jesus, the Son of God, when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Everyone's a slave to something, but Jesus is the only one that can set people free. Everyone's born into slavery to sin. Scripture says that everybody sins and falls short of the glory of God. But there's some people who've been set free by the Son, and there are other people who have been resistant to the freedom that the Son can give. So I love the fact that there's good news in this text, that there's freedom, and freedom is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. He's given us the formula. He's saying, look, if you find yourself enslaved to sin, if it seems like the door is locked and you're caught in a cage, all you've got to do is hold to my teaching, follow me, surrender to me, and the way out is pretty straightforward. You can walk in freedom. For some people, the reason life feels like it's constant captivity and bondage and struggle and pain is because we don't want to just submit to Jesus and just follow his teaching and actually do what Jesus said to do. I love the dialogue that happens between Jesus and the Jews in the next few verses. And again, see if you can find yourself in this dialogue. They say, Abraham is our father. They answered, and Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. But as it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham didn't do such things. You're doing the works of your own father. Jesus has twice now referenced their own father. And you got to wonder, who exactly is he talking about? Because they've appealed to Abraham. They said, we are Abraham's descendants. Jesus says, I know that. But you're not acting like Abraham. I know who your ancestors were, but you're not acting like your ancestors did. Your ancestors didn't try and reject truth like you're trying to reject truth. And so then they say, well, we're not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. So now they appeal to God. They take Abraham out of it. They say, look, we're children of God. I'm a child of God. You can't say these things to me. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. See, Jesus is tapping into the tension that exists in so much of the world today. He's saying, you keep appealing to God and your spiritual ancestors, but when people look at your actions, they're not seeing God. And man, that's a convicting word, because I see far too many self-proclaimed followers of Christ that make Christ himself look bad. By the way we talk about people, and the way we criticize people, and the way we cast judgment on people without loving them as we call them into holiness. And Jesus says in the next verses, you belong to your father, the devil. Man, that's a tough word. He says, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, but there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And yet, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. What Jesus is declaring in those verses is that the evidence of freedom, like the proof of whether or not you're walking in freedom or you're walking in captivity, is your love of God and your obedience to God's voice. And what are your priorities in life? Your priorities ought to be, if you want to walk in freedom, loving God and listening to what God says and walking in obedience to God's voice. So many people want to say, I love God, and because I love God, I can do whatever I want to do. And Jesus says, no, it's different. If you love God, it ought to be reflected in what you do. That's the evidence. And so I've got a thought for you to just consider this week. The thought is this: pay attention to the areas of your life where you might be in slavery. Just pay close attention to those things that seem to have their hooks in you, and then ask God to give you freedom. You know, I remember a couple years ago, Petra and I were over in Singapore, my wife and I, and we were there on a work trip for her job. Petra works for a company, and part of her role in human resources is helping employees that are going on international assignments. So when they're going to go overseas for like a 3-year assignment, she's involved in a lot of the logistics about getting them there. And so we were there in Singapore, and she wanted to see some of the housing that some of these employees would spend time in if they went over there to work. So we were touring these apartments. By the way, Singapore is expensive and is super clean. Like, you can get in trouble with the law for chewing gum in public in Singapore. You can be publicly caned for throwing gum on the ground in Singapore. In fact, you cannot buy gum in the stores in Singapore. Maybe you didn't realize that. They just don't want gum to end up underneath tables and desks and subway doors and all of that stuff. I know none of you would ever stick your gum anywhere where it shouldn't go, but in Singapore, if you decide to do that, smuggle some gum in, you're going to be in trouble. You might end up in a cage. But we were touring this apartment, $10,000 a month apartment. Whew, expensive, right? And we were walking through it, and we got to a room that was like a storage closet. And I remember looking in the room saying, like, man, that's a nice storage closet. I mean, it's storage closets, just 4 walls and a ceiling and a floor. And the person giving us the tour said, that's not a storage closet. That's the maid's quarters. Like, what? The maid's quarters? You can barely fit a twin-size bed in there, if that, and then just shut the door. He said, well, that's the maid's quarters. And, you know, I think the person could tell the shock on our face. And they said, well, no, you got to understand, like, a lot of people in Singapore have maids because they work long hours. People in Singapore work many hours. And so they work, and somebody's got to take care of the kids and get them to school and pick them up from the bus and walk the dogs and prepare the food. And so most people have maids. And we're thinking, this doesn't look like maids' quarters. This looks like slaves' quarters. And so the person said, no, you got to understand, the people who work as maids in Singapore, oftentimes they've come from countries where if they stayed in their villages as women, they would have been exposed to like human trafficking and possibly being raped and molested. So this is actually a step up for them to have a safe, secure room in their own place. And in that moment, I would say I realized something. I realized that from the world's perspective, freedom is a relative term. It's kind of like, well, if you are in a better position than you were, then we can call that freedom. But from our perspective in America, we look and say, that's a closet. Here's the truth that I know from this passage of Scripture. When it comes to Scripture and Jesus and the freedom that he offers, it's not relative, it's absolute. There is one way to true freedom, and that's Jesus. He made a bold claim. The only one that made it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get out of captivity to sin, if you want to get out of captivity to anything, the only way is found in the person of Jesus. You can keep dabbling and playing around with other areas all you want, but the only way to true freedom is Jesus. You're either going to follow him and be an obedient, loving servant of Jesus, or you're going to be a slave to sin and the world. And I don't know about you, but I'd rather serve Jesus. It's what I've committed my life to. And that's what I want to see others commit their lives to. So what is it that's got you enslaved? Sometimes when I'm on social media and I look at my news feed on Facebook, I can tell what's got people enslaved. Sometimes I look at my own life and I see how I've been spending my time or my money. And I can see the signs of slavery. And yet I'm free. My identity is that I'm free. If you're a follower of Jesus, your identity is free. Why would you ever act like you still live in a cage?